This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Well, as we continue with the series called Building My Life on Values That Last, Rick shows us how we benefit when we apply the biblical principles of trust, self-control, balance, respect, forgiveness, moral purity, fairness, honesty, and love to our lives. In just a few moments, we're going to tell you about an amazing opportunity to come alongside this ministry in our efforts to see lives change through the gospel. You can find out more by going to PastorRick.com while you listen to the message, or by texting the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with the final part of a message called Developing Self-Control.
When I used to do marriage counseling, and I talk to them, and they come and say, I'm so depressed. And what I really wanted to say, stop saying you're depressed. Admit it. I'm angry. I'm angry at my husband, or I'm angry at my wife, but because I'm a Christian, I don't think I can express anger. Therefore, I'm going to push it down. I'm going to freeze it. And frozen anger is called depression. It's frozen rage. Don't repress it and don't suppress it. Number three, don't express it in inappropriate ways. By the way, when you deny that you're angry, that's called lying. And that in itself is a sin. You say, well, I'm not angry, when you really are. That's being dishonest. God doesn't want you to be dishonest. You want to see an honest example of anger, just go read the Psalms. The thing I love about the Psalms is David just tells it like it is. He spills his guts, and sometimes he goes, God, life stinks. God, life is unfair. My enemies are all against me. Things aren't going good, and I'm not so excited about you right now either. And you know what? And God is not shocked by this. God doesn't go, oh, really? I'm going to fall off of my throne in heaven because you're upset. No, God can handle your anger. It's okay. And just, if you want to know how to pray in anger, go read the Psalms. Because after he gets it all out, he goes, now, God, okay, I know you're going to help me with this. And where else can I turn but to you? Because nobody else has the answers. So you don't repress it, don't suppress it, don't express it. Now, we can express it in a lot of wrong ways. Some of you are pouters. In fact, you have a PhD in pouting. And when you pout, you get so pouty. And your lip gets about 5 inches long. And everybody has to walk around on pins and needles or eggshells around you, like, because pretty pouty Paula is right there, you know? And you're just, you know, everybody has to baby you because you're upset. Others of you, you're not pouters. You're just sarcastic. And you whip that tongue out and, you know, you are an expert at cold cuts. Okay? You got that spice tongue down real good there, you know, that deli meat. And it's, you know, spice tongue, cold cuts. I want to tell you what, a sharp tongue will cut your own throat. And that sarcasm will come back to haunt you. And you may feel good, and you may feel witty, and you may feel like, I got him. But what you're doing is destroying a relationship. Because you hurt people with your words. Others of you, you're not sarcastic, you're not pouters, you're manipulators. And your goal is, don't get mad, get even. And so you figure out a way to get back. It may be passive resistance, it may be doing this or that, but you figure out a way to get back and express your anger. And then, of course, there are lots of crazy behaviors. Some people get drunk. Some people have affairs. The book of Job, it says you're only hurting yourself with your anger. So what do? You don't blow your stack. That causes air pollution. You don't confess. You don't repress it, suppress it, express it. You confess it. You confess it. Now what that means is you admit it, and you not only admit it, you admit the cause. You say, I'm upset, and here's why. I'm hurting. I'm frustrated. I'm afraid. I feel threatened. And in that relationship, the more honest you can be, the more easy it is to deal with the root causes of your anger. Now notice this next verse, Proverbs 22, 24. Let's read it together. Keep away from angry, short-tempered people, or you will learn to be like them. Now you know what this verse is saying? It's saying that anger is contagious. Now think that through. It is, isn't it? When people are getting angry at you and shouting in your face, isn't it easy to catch it? You know, if I got in your face and I started yelling at you, you would probably start getting angry back. Because anger is contagious. And when somebody else gets loud, you get loud too. And we see this happen all the time in families. Dad comes home, he's stressed out, and he yells at mom. Mom turns around and then just transfers it onto big brother. And says, you know, go do this. And big brother turns around. He gets angry at little sister. Little sister goes out and she kicks the dog. The dog comes in and bites the baby on the floor. The baby bites the head off the Barbie doll. And the cycle is repeated round and round and round. You know, we just pass it on. Anger is contagious. Now, what I want you to notice, though, in this verse is circle the word learn. Because the Bible says, keep away from angry, short-tempered people, or you will learn to be like them. Now, here's a very important point. How you expressed your anger is a learned behavior. It didn't just come natural. Oh, no. You learn to be a pouter. You learn to be a manipulator. You learn to be an exploder. Whether you're the mute or the martyr or the maniac, somebody modeled it for you. You may have seen it on TV. You may have seen it in college. You may have seen it from kids on the playground. You may have seen it from your parents. You may have seen it from brothers and sisters. But all those inappropriate ways of anger that you've dealt with all these years, guess what? You learned them. You learned every one of them. Now, here's the good news. Since that inappropriate anger is learned, it can be absolutely. It can be unlearned. And you don't have to go the rest of your life being sarcastic or a pouter or a maniac or a mute or a martyr or any of those other things. You can learn to express anger appropriately. That's your choice. And not only that, God says, I'll give you the power to do it. And you can change. And if there's anything I want to say tonight, it's this. You don't have to stay the same. And maybe you grew up in a home where anger was focused on you in a very inappropriate way, and it hurt a lot. And I would say to you, you don't have to do that to your kids. You don't have to do that to your husband, your wife, or your friends. That you can change with God's help. If I'll take these steps, I resolve to control it, realize the cost, I start restraining my mouth with God's help. I reflect before reacting, and I learn to release my anger in appropriate ways. I confess it, admit it, admit the reasons behind it. You see, anytime I lose my temper, it bothers me because I know that I'm modeling for my kids an inappropriate way of dealing with life. And we hear all the time about how people pick up things from others. You know, we hear about these copycat crimes, where people have seen some kind of inappropriate behavior on TV, and then they go out and do it? Well, if you can do that with television, you can certainly do it in a home and anywhere else. And television is not exactly a good place to learn how to deal with anger. It says use a gun, blow somebody away, cuss at them, flip them off, you know, tell them off, sabotage their career or whatever. The sixth key to dealing with anger, the Bible says, is to return good for evil. Return good for evil. In other words, never let other people control you by choosing to react to them. Booker T. Washington once said, I will never let another man control my life by making me hate him. When you say you make me mad, you're allowing that, you're admitting they control me. They have the power to control my emotions. The Bible says the way you show that you're in control of a situation is by returning good for evil. Oh, it's easy to retaliate, but when you get even, you're on the same level as them. But when you respond with good, it actually puts you in a superior position. Now notice the verse here in Romans 12. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Never avenge yourselves. Leave that to God. Overcome evil with good. Now God says you got one of two choices here. He says, you know, you're going to be hurt in life. You're going to be disappointed. And people are going to do bad things to you. You can either spend all your time retaliating, trying to get even, or you can let me, God, settle the score. Because God says, vengeance is mine, I will repay. God is a just God, and he is going to settle the score for the injustice in life. Not just here, but in eternity. Now, when somebody's hurt you, who can do a better job of settling the score? You or God? Who has more resources at their disposal? You or God? Well, God does. So God says, let me handle that. Instead, I want you to respond by overcoming evil with good.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment with the rest of today's lesson. Now, if you'd like to connect with Pastor Rick online, just go to PastorRick.com and click on his social media links. That's PastorRick.com. Over the last several months, we've all experienced worldwide changes and events that have impacted us in profound and sometimes unimaginable ways. For many of us, those changes will impact our lives for years to come. Pastor Rick believes that now, more than ever, people need God's Word and the hope that it brings. That's why he's asked us to invite you to become a partner in hope. It's so easy to join. You simply let us know how much you'd like to give each month, and we'll set up an easy regular donation plan for you. But if for any reason you're not able to help financially at this time, we absolutely get that. In fact, the most important way you can help Daily Hope is to pray for us, and we'll pray for you. If you can give at this time, please know that your sustained monthly support will help us to continue broadcasting the life-transforming message of the gospel on the radio, on the web, and via podcast. To become a partner in hope, call 800-600-5004 or visit PastorRick.com. When you do, we'll send you a very special thank you gift to show our appreciation. That's PastorRick.com or you can call 800-600-5004. And thanks so very much for your support.
Now, let's get back to more great teaching with Pastor Rick Warren.
It's one thing to say, yeah, manage my mouth. Right. You don't have enough willpower to manage this thing. That's why when you get down to the seventh key, this is the one that ties it all together, and that is request God's help. God says, I'll help you do these other six things. Resolve the control, realize the cost, restrain my mouth and reflect before reacting. He'll help you respond and return good for evil. He says, I will give you that power. There's a good verse here on your outline, Psalm 141, verse 3. Let's read it together. Lord, help me control my tongue. Help me to be careful about what I say. That'd be a good memory verse for this week, too. Help me to control my tongue and help me to be careful about how I say. How does he help? How does God help us manage our mouth and control our anger? I'll tell you how he does it. By going right to the source, right to the root, right to the cause of all of it. Notice the next verse. Whatever is in your heart determines what you say. Jesus deals with the root cause, and he says that the heart of the issue is the issue of the heart. It's not my mouth that gets me in trouble. It's my heart that gets me in trouble. It's not what I say, it's what I think that comes out. He says, whatever's inside of you is going to come out. Whatever is inside of you, if it's anger, when the world puts pressure on you, that's what's going to squeeze out all over. And if you're filled with irritation, when the world puts a squeeze on you like a toothpaste bottle, irritation's going to squeeze out. What's in your heart comes out of your mouth. Now, I know I've heard people say, and you've said this, I've said it. You know, you say something, you go, I don't know what got into me. I'm not that kind of person. It's not like me to say that. Oh, yes, it is. Oh, yes, it is. It wouldn't be coming out of your mouth if it wasn't in your heart first. You can't clean up the well by simply painting the pump. If the water's contaminated, you got to get to the source. And the source is not even my mouth. It's my mind. It's my heart. It's what I allow inside. And my mouth just betrays what I'm really like. Jesus explained the Freudian slip long before Freud knew there was a slip. He says it comes out of the inside. And my words explain or demonstrate my heart condition. What does that mean? It means that someone with a harsh tongue is demonstrating an angry heart. And somebody with a boastful mouth, they're always bragging, is demonstrating an insecure heart. And somebody with an over-talkative mouth is demonstrating an unsettled heart. And somebody with a critical word for everybody is demonstrating a bitter heart. And somebody who has a judgmental mouth, always putting everybody else down, is demonstrating their own guilty heart. And somebody with a boasting, filthy, impure heart is going to say boasting, filthy, impure things. On the other hand, if I have encouraging words for other people, it means I've got a happy heart. And if I've got gentle words for people when they're down, instead of kicking them, it shows I got a loving heart. And if I have kind words and comforting words for people, it shows I've got a heart at peace. Because what you say shows what you're like on the inside. Now, when God changes us, He doesn't just paint the pump. He gives us a new heart. The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new person inside. The old is gone, the new has come. David prayed like this. He said, create in me a clean heart, O God. God specializes in heart transplants. And all the self-help books and tapes in the world can't do that. And all the therapy in the world can't give you a new heart. Only God can do that. It's called being born again. What's that? Reincarnation? No, it just means God gives you a new attitude. He changes your mind and He changes your heart. And all of a sudden, you're not so angry anymore. Why? Because when Jesus deals with your anger, He deals with the root. And He comes and He says, you know, you're angry because you're insecure. Let me tell you how you can be secure. And He gives you His confidence and His power to replace your insecurity. And He gives you His love to replace your hurt, whether you've been abused or neglected or whatever. And He gives you His peace to replace your frustration. And when you say, God, I just can't control it, He says, that's okay, I can. Trust me. You know, when you pick up a crying baby, that baby's crying, so that baby may be mad, but when you pick the baby up and you comfort it and that baby feels secure, the baby stops crying. And when you realize how secure you are in God's love, that He will never stop loving you, that He has a plan for your life, and that He will help you with every issue in your life that you turn over to Him, that's what Jesus Christ said He came to do. You can relax, and you don't have to be angry anymore. Let's bow our heads. Now, many of you tonight know that God's been talking directly to you on this. You may be a mute. You may be a martyr. You may be a maniac. You may be a skunk or a turtle. You may blow up or you may clam up. Maybe you're a pouter or a manipulator. Maybe you just hold it all in and let it turn to bitterness. God says, let me do a little heart surgery tonight. Would you give me your life and give me your heart, and I will take it and mold it into something new, and I will exchange your frustration, hurt, and fear for my power, peace, and love. Pray this prayer. In your mind, say, Jesus Christ, I need your power and your peace and your love in my life. And I need to stop trying to control it all, which makes me angry, and start letting you control it all so I can relax and trust in you. I want the peace of God to rule in my heart. And I want you to work in my life and in my mind. And I ask you to give me the power to take these practical steps starting tonight. Jesus Christ, I open my life to you and invite you to be number one in my heart. In your name I pray. Amen.
Hi, everybody. This is Rick, and I hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. You know, if you just prayed that prayer for the very first time, or you just recommitted your life to Jesus again today, would you let me know about it? There's something real about sharing your commitment. So write me, Rick, at PastorRick.com and say, Rick, I prayed that prayer of commitment. I gave my life to Christ. And I'll send you some material that'll help you on your journey with Jesus. And I'll also pray for you. God bless you.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We are so glad you're with us today. And if you'd like to connect with Rick on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter, just go to PastorRick.com and click on his social media links. Rick will be right back in a moment to close out our time today. But first, over the last several months, we've all experienced worldwide changes and events that have impacted us in profound and sometimes unimaginable ways. For many of us, those changes will impact our lives for years to come. Pastor Rick believes that now, more than ever, people need God's Word and the hope that it brings. That's why he's asked us to invite you to become a partner in hope. Here's Rick to tell you more.
Friends, we believe that God wants everybody to be saved. And in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, the Bible says, God doesn't want anyone to be lost. That means you'll never meet a single person in your life who God doesn't love and who God doesn't want to be saved. Now, if God wants every person saved, then we should too. And that's why I started Daily Hope. You know, there are literally billions of people who've never heard the name of Jesus. And we can only reach them if we work together. And that's why I'm asking for your help. Would you be my partner in helping getting God's Word out to the world, to the people who have no Bible, no believers, and no body of Christ? You know, there's nothing more important that we can do together than to help other people see God as He really is, and to help them understand the depth of God's love and grace for them. It's your faithful support to this broadcast, Daily Hope, that helps us tell more and more people about the transforming power of Jesus Christ. Friends, if you'll make a monthly investment as a partner in hope, together we can broadcast this life-transforming message of the gospel through radio and through podcasts and online, literally around the world. We need your support.
It's so easy to join. You simply let us know how much you'd like to give each month, and we'll set up an easy regular donation plan for you. But if for any reason you're not able to help financially at this time, we absolutely get that. In fact, the most important way you can help Daily Hope is to pray for us, and we'll pray for you. If you can give at this time, please know that your sustained monthly support will help us to continue broadcasting the life-transforming message of the gospel on the radio, on the web, and via podcast. To become a partner in hope, call 800-600-5004 or visit PastorRick.com. When you do, we'll send you a very special thank you gift to show our appreciation. That's PastorRick.com or you can call 800-600-5004. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.